And joining us now, a special guest. She was former Miss U.S. Kentucky, and also she is now in charge of getting to cover a lot of cool sports in the SEC as the director of recruiting at the Rebel Walk. Leanne Herring joining us here. Leanne, we appreciate the time, and I know we've talked the last few days on text, but glad to get to talk to you in person here.
Glad to have you let us be on the show, Chad, and we're glad to be on ESPN Pensacola to count down the much-awaited college football season. I know that you're probably as thrilled as I am to be able to get back on the field and on those sidelines this season.
Yes, it's going to be pretty exciting when you look right now at the season. I think last year, even though a lot of the teams, when you get onto the field and you play, it's a little bit different, Leanne, that you know they can block the noise or the crowds, but having crowds back and having a chance to, when you get that big touchdown to make a play, to me, this is exciting to get everybody back out there and the fans to, really SEC football all about, having the chance to tailgate, get out there on the field, and show up if you can in the stadium on Saturday.
No, exactly. Saturdays in the South, as we say, especially in the SEC, you know, it's going to be a lot of different atmosphere this year that's, you know, returned more to back to the field. And what a lot of people don't realize, how much the crowds in the SEC stadiums and many Power 5 stadiums really do set the tone and really can help elevate and change what's going on in the field with the players. A lot of the players, as much as they can drown out the noise, they use the noise from their fan base to really get things going, you know, when they're down or when they need to make those big conversions in the red zone and stuff. So an atmosphere, being able to return to the atmosphere, especially having full stadiums in the SEC, is going to be huge, a huge factor in how these games are going to be even more exciting and more motivation for the players, especially, I know, in Oxford. It's a big, huge proponent for us, for the atmosphere in Oxford, not just in the Grove, but when you get into the stadium, and especially if having a full year with Coach Kiffin and the returning players and the new players we're going to see, it's definitely going to be exciting return of college football after a long year of COVID and other things that really have changed the game as we see it now.
Leanne, I got to ask you, just because loyalty in the South with your teams are so important. Now, you're an Ole Miss fan, but you won Miss USA Kentucky. Explain that to a couple fans that know you're coming on the show, and they're real excited, and they're asking me all these Mark Stoops questions, and I told them that we're not going down that path. But where's your loyalty lines here from Ole Miss and also from Kentucky on that standpoint?
Well, I root for both teams when I can, but my loyalty is going to be Ole Miss. It was kind of funny. I was talking about this earlier with a colleague because I actually got my start with Larry Vaught, a longtime editor of the Danville Advocate Messenger and a mentor of mine in Kentucky, actually covering UK basketball and covering UK football along with, that's why I started covering Ole Miss football as well. It was during the time of Joker Phillips, so you can imagine how football was pretty much non-existent. But it's really good to see Kentucky not just be a basketball school. And Mark Stoops and bringing in Liam Coombe and a lot of other members to his coaching staff, and what Kentucky's done on the recruiting trail this past summer and this past year is really phenomenal. So it's going to be really great to see the cast. And they're another sleeper team, just like Ole Miss. Having, you know, Stoops and then having Kiffin over here at Ole Miss, those are two coaches that were really bought in at an interesting time that have really revamped and changed the culture. And you can really see it under the circumstances what both have been able to do under COVID to build those programs and bring them to contenders in this conference, which is very difficult to do, especially the programs that Stoops inherited and definitely the program that Kiffin inherited coming into Oxford.
Specifically talking about Lane Kiffin, Leanne, what did you get from him in terms of SEC Media Days? What was the vibe that you get maybe from him about the program this year, or just having covering it? What is the expectation, or what were your takeaways from SEC Media Days?
Just the fact that I think this program, these boys are ready. They're ready to get back on the field. They've been working hard in conditioning. The staff, they've been hard on the recruiting trail because recruiting, as we know, this past year is very different. And this whole summer was really the first time that these coaches and our new coaching staff was really able to get out there on the road to do evals, to get to meet and build relationships, not just with the 2022 class, but future Ole Miss Rebels, you know, 2023 and 2024 class. So I think right now it's just they're getting ready for fall camp and that sort of thing. But this team is really focused. They're ready to get down to business. You can tell they're ready to get down in the field. I think they have a chip on their shoulder because, you know, everyone's talking about how, you know, how are they going to be able to compete? You know, everyone's already creating the storyline. And I think Coach Kiffin as much as he's got a great social media presence and he's involved in the hype, he's really taught his players along with his staff to be able to shut the noise out and get ready and get down to business. And I think that's really what the focus is. And that's what I got from Media Days, from, you know, especially from Matt Corral, you know, who has really come a long way with this program. You've really seen him mature. But I think now the program has really found a good foundation because Kiffin has brought consistency with his coaching staff. There's not another change in OC. There's not another change in a DC. There is not a lot of changing of the pieces. Now Ole Miss has finally found a consistent ground to be able to build upon from the offense, obviously, but especially from the defense. That has been one of the biggest things that the Ole Miss Rebels and Coach Kiffin and his staff have really worked on the recruiting trail, especially during the 2021 season, even with the limitations. Lane Kiffin came in there due to COVID, the way he inherited that program, and still was able to sink a top 25 team, you know, under those circumstances. So I think the vibe pretty much has been, you know, to be able to get ready to get back into it and just get fall camp and focus, you know, and just drown the noise out and let's get down to business and show everybody why they want to come to Oxford and why the 2022s and 2023s want to come and play in Oxford. Because there's a lot of special things going on. I think because it's based on a lot of young talent, and it's a booming thing. And Kiffin's really changed the culture, not just on the football field, but on campus and things. And I think for once, the Ole Miss faithful have really come behind it, and football is exciting again, and it's fun again in Oxford. And Kiffin's made it fun for his players, and I think that's why a lot of these kids we're seeing a lot of top 4 and 5 star recruits that maybe normally under other circumstances would not be coming to Ole Miss. Right now.
Well, and Leanne, it's always exciting going to Ole Miss to get to tailgate in the Grove, but now the football too as well, exciting out there, and a product that people enjoy watching. The name, image, and likeness, when it comes down to what we're seeing in college football, personally, you are somebody that has been in the spotlight, that has a chance to shine in your career from football to off of the field and having a chance to do what you've done as Miss USA Kentucky. But when it comes to an athlete that is out of high school, we just saw Quinn Ewers that is going to miss his senior year. It's not like he graduated early. He's skipping it entirely to go make some money and try to compete for the job at Ohio State. But what did you, when you first saw name, image, and likeness and how it could affect Ole Miss and the SEC now with Oklahoma and also Texas as really and always has been the powerhouse conference, what was your first thought on NIL?
I think NIL is a subject that has been brewing for a long time. It's something that has been a long await, and I think programs have already known it and anticipated it was coming, and a lot of Power 5 programs, especially SEC, especially a place like Ole Miss, when NIL became official, I think that they were ready for it. And I think that we haven't really seen where it's going to go. We haven't been able to work out the kinks, but I think it's something that is a positive change. And this is why I say it. I think a lot of people think that these athletes, you know, especially the kids like Quinn, they decided to forego their senior season because it's a financial reason. And that plays into it too. But if you think about it, it's a kid who, it's no different than enrolling early, but also he's getting to learn a system. He's getting to also be able to prepare for his future and create an investment. And I think, you know, if universities continue to capitalize on name, image, and likeness of their student athletes, then it's only fair that we find some outside compensation. I think that's what NIL is going to do. And so I've been a proponent for it for a long time. And I think now that because, you know, a lot of football purists will say, you know, we have to embrace the changing landscape in college football, especially on the business end. As much as you want to preserve the idea of being an amateur at a high school level and a college level, there's just so many outside factors financially that play into the game now that you have to consider it. And I think, like I said, going back to Kentucky, I think one of the coaches, even though it was, you know, basketball, one of the coaches that I really admire and that I saw really embrace the idea of NIL finally coming to fruition was a coach like Coach Cal at University of Kentucky, what he did with his players. You know, a lot of people say Coach Cal and UK players are one and done. But I think he really taught his players the idea of, you know, preparing for their future and investing. And I think with the NIL rule now, we might even see, yes, we may see kids like Quinn Ewers and a lot of not just top prospects in the state, but across the country, but also college players now with his name, image, and likeness, they may not be hurrying off so much to, you know, go into the professional sports if that's their route. We may be getting kids, you know, staying longer. And I think that that's a positive thing. And also another positive thing I see in the NIL is teaching kids at a younger age, especially student athletes, how to be able to handle not just the media, but also be able to handle a portfolio and investment. You know, I think a lot of people think with the Ayers decision, with him foregoing his senior season, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't so much about the money, but it's protecting himself, because look at what happened, you know, within 24 hours, you know, LSU quarterback Miles Brennan signs a car dealership NIL agreement, and then he's out for the season, you know, with uncertain because of his injury, because he's going to have surgery. So you're going to have a lot of cases like that. And in a sport where you play, where your body's on the line, you know, so you have to wait to protect the future. And I think NIL has been coming for a long time, and now that it's at the forefront, universities are ready for it. You know, at Ole Miss, they have the Next Level program. And I think it just teaches kids to be smarter and to be in control of their career, not just off on the field, but off the field as well.
What were your thoughts when you heard about Oklahoma and Texas, and were probably shocked like we all were that it came out of nowhere? I mean, this was, in today's society, it's hard to get away with anything, let alone when it comes down to one of the biggest conferences, if not the biggest conference, plus two of the biggest blue bloods of college football coming out of one conference, and they've been talking and negotiating dating back to January, and all of a sudden we hear about it a couple weeks ago, and it just happens like that. That could change everything with not only the SEC, but college football and conference realignment. What did you think, Leanne, when you heard about Oklahoma and Texas joining the party in the SEC?
I would kind of, like you said, most of the world got wind of it, you know, just a few weeks ago, kind of maybe within the month and stuff. So, you know, I have been hearing about the expansion talk for Texas OU has been something that's kind of been under the table for a long time, I really believe. I think the Big 12, especially Texas, has had, you know, a very difficult time trying to find its identity. You know, Texas has been saying it's back for a long time, but it really hasn't. And that's me, a person who's grown up in Texas and watched the program and whatnot. So I think that, you know, now with the Big 12 not really having an identity, it made sense. It works. Texas and OU, they have such large fan bases. They're trying to get their programs back in the rise. They see a school like Texas A&M coming in and recruiting their top talent and Texas kids because they can sell that SEC pitch, especially with the Longhorns. And I think what really pushed it at the forefront of making this conversation an easier transition is when the University of Texas decided to hire Sark. And I say that because Sark's relations and his ties within the SEC conference, I think that made it more doable to be able to have those conversations and make it more reality, because like you said, it's been in the air for a long time, you know, behind the scenes, and we're just hearing from it now, and it just moved like that. And I think that, you know, I firmly believe that it's going to be, I think that speaking for Texas, that we probably will see them in the SEC a lot sooner than 2025. I feel like the boosters are going to look at the buyout price tag, and yes, it's a hefty buyout, but when they look at the long-term picture, the sooner they can get the Longhorns into the SEC officially, as soon as they can start marketing that and everything, that will really help a lot of recruiting. Now, a lot of people are asking me, you know, in regards to Texas, in regards to a highly profiled recruit that, of course, we know all too well at Ole Miss, Arch Manning, is that going to help, you know, their quest now? Are the Longhorns now going to be even in the forefront in the Arch Manning recruitment, because they now can say, you know, we're going to be in the SEC. And I kind of said, you know, the Texas program, it's a good start now, especially with OU, that they're going to be in the SEC. But I don't think it's going to be the only selling point, especially for Texas. They have a lot of rebuilding to still continue to do on recruiting trail, and to see a lot of this high talent that they get, especially in their 2022 and 23 class, is going to translate on the field. And if they're going to find a way, I think until Texas starts proving and wins, and in conference championships and whatnot, then I really think. But like I said, I think it's going to be interesting, because now we hear all this talk. You know, there was that kind of fake news that broke about Clemson. As soon as this came out, you know, then there was that the Clemson, you know, Florida State coming into the conference and these super conferences. Now, do I think we're far away from having these super conferences? No, I don't think so, because the mid-conferences and everything, what are they going to be left to do? They're pretty much going to have to go, just like when we see the Big 12 eventually break off. They're all going to go, you know, to their locales or whatever has the best deal. So I think eventually we're going to go to these super conferences at some point. I don't know if it's going to be within the next 2 years, but I feel like that's the direction is we're going to head in. And then, you know, of course, it's going to call a need for expansion of playoffs. And, you know, how are we going to realign conference? You know, there's been talk in the SEC, of course. Is there going to be these are we going to go into pods? Are we going to keep it in, you know, a two conference, you know, east and west? So there's a lot of things, like I said, but I think when Sark became the football coach at Texas, I think it really pushed things that now we can really have this conversation and make it a reality. But like you said, this is something that's been going on for a while, but it expedited real quickly. And I think it was inevitable. And I think we're going to see, like I said, the emergence of super conferences now with this big move of Texas and OU. And I think it's going to come a lot sooner than 2025.
I would agree. Leanne Herring joining us, Director of Recruiting at the Rebel Walk. Before we let you go, Leanne, a guy that it's sort of the ups and downs, and we've seen these guys at different schools, like Urban Meyer and how he's looked at Florida. He gives you a couple national titles, but then I'm sitting there with my dad and brother who are Florida alumni, and you see on the bottom of the screen he's leaving because of health issues. Maybe Tim Tebow was also leaving. And then like 2 weeks later, he's on TV. There are some teams that just have mixed feelings on their coaches that have given them success, but at the same time, the way that they left or their relationship went a little south. A guy like Hugh Freeze, it's probably had the most success we've seen at Ole Miss in a very long time. But when there was smoke, there was some fire, there were some things that went on. And the next thing you know, he's out. And then he wasn't even able to come back into the SEC. And a lot of those players like Laramie Tunzel and some others are getting looked at. When you look at Hugh Freeze and the legacy of what he built at Oxford, being able to beat Alabama twice, I don't think any other coach can even say that. But to be able to do that, just talk about where Hugh Freeze and his legacy is going to be looked at from the standpoint of Ole Miss and Oxford.
And like you said, it's mixed feelings when you come down to Oxford. You talk down to what, you know, from the top to the bottom of the fan base, of the boosters, the Oxford Blue Bloods, as I like to call them. You know, when you look, like you said it, when you look at Coach Freeze in a merely professional standpoint and from a coaching standpoint, what he did for Ole Miss, he revived recruiting again. You know, he revamped how we played and how we approached things. And like I said, no one can say that they beat Alabama twice. So from a coaching perspective, Hugh Freeze, I think, will be remembered, you know, as a great coach that set a lot of things in motion that the program needed. But at the end of the day, it's really hard for the way the program was left. Hugh Freeze will be remembered as the coach that tanked the program, for as much good as he did and as much things that he brought on a professional level with recruiting and how he was able, like I said, revive this program and revamp it and bring some consistency to the board and put Ole Miss back on the map. He did it both in a good way, but he also did it in a not so positive way when he left. So I think, you know, as much as it just looks on it from a professional and personal standpoint, from a professional standpoint, like I said, regardless of all the things that happened, on the personal level, his coaching is one that is difficult to match and will always go down in Ole Miss history as one of the best seasons, best recruiting and that whatnot. But like I said, people in Oxford are not going to forget the way he left the program in such the fact that it tanked the program. And like you said, he may have not gotten a job in the SEC, but now he was able to get a coaching job. And I think a lot of attention was, especially from some of the families, you know, within the programs and stuff, was how it left their kids and how it left some of the athletes that were forced to transfer or, you know, all these things. And so I think that's where the bad blood still kind of sits. But I think there's going to be a little bit of a vengeance, if you want to say, come, I believe, in November 6th. We're going to open up November 6th at home in Oxford against Liberty, which is Coach Freeze's new home. And, of course, he's done not surprising, fantastic things over there. So that's going to be an interesting ball game. Hugh Freeze's return to Oxford after the way he left it. But like I said, on a professional level, you have to respect the coaching and what he did. But like I said, people aren't going to forget the way he left that program, because for a good solid 2 years, it was a dark cloud that hung over Oxford. But we're finally out of it. You know, looking forward, we made the best deal we could out of it in getting Coach Kiffin. Like I said, a lot of people were real hesitant about that marriage just because, you know, the past that Kiffin has, but what he's brought to the program, he's changed the culture, what he did under COVID, the coaching staff that he's put together has been a crucial part in the change and the reformation and also the revival in recruiting again. You know, the 2022 class is not a lot of names that you know, but it's a lot of kids that are going to make a great impact, and a lot of kids from in the state of Mississippi and talent that are staying at home to play at Ole Miss, you know, and the class that are coming in 2023, our training class, a lot of 4- and 5-star kids. But like I said, it's going to be really great to see when we hit the field on the road for the home opener against Louisville, which is going to be a heck of a thing. Two quarterbacks going at it, Matt Corral, and that kid needs no introduction. And it's going to be great to see him on a stage finally with more weapons in place after the year he had. You know, last year he threw for 337 yards and 29 touchdowns, becoming only the fourth SEC QB in college football history to lead the nation in total offense per game, joining the companies of Pat Sullivan, Johnny Manziel, and Rex Grossman. And we all know where, you know, the future Heisman-winners first round. So it'll be really interesting to see how that Louisville goes down. It definitely will be a collision and a two great quarterbacks in the road in Atlanta. But we're looking forward for the season. And like I said, it's going to be a wait and see with this ball club. A lot of changing pieces. But it's finally good to see the Ole Miss Rebels have consistency. And I'm really excited to see this defense. They've had struggled for so many seasons to be able to be consistent. There's a lot of new kids, a lot of JUCO kids. I'm excited to see a kid like Tywell Malone. You haven't heard about him out of Bergen Catholic. He led him the 2021 class. One heck of a D tackle, one of the nation's top in 2021. And we're lucky to get him on our line with some of the JUCO kids that we have. You know, our secondary and our linebackers on defense, I think, are really, really, really shaping up to be a really good, really interesting, consistent defense. And I think if we can be consistent on a lot of levels, then we can win 9 to 10 games this season. But like I said, it's going to have to be a wait and see in the face. Rebel faithful, as I call them, are going to have to be patient, because those first three games and then having a week off before we have to go on the road to Tuscaloosa for the conference opener is going to be a tough one. But I think if these kids can get it worked out, and I think that they will, I think they're ready to go, then we're going to have an interesting year. But I think Ole Miss is very close to being back. Maybe not at a national level, national championship quite yet, but I think we're going to be really surprised by this young talent and this coaching staff, what they're going to put together this season.
Leanne, they're always fun to watch. Lane Kiffin's good for a couple of tweets and a good-natured humor, and they have the number one quarterback when it comes to offensive stats coming back, so that can't help. It can't hurt at all. So we're looking forward to it. Louisville right out of the gate, and then the first SEC game at Alabama. We really appreciate your time. We're up against the top of the hour here, but anytime that you'd like to join us throughout the year talking college football, we'd love to have you on, and we'll continue to promote anything you guys have going on over there at the Rebel Walk.
Well, thank you so much, Chad. It's always good to be on ESPN, and we're ready for college football and love to be back and talk some SEC and just college football anytime. We appreciate it.
Hotty toddy, Leanne.
Hotty toddy.